PU-10-124, Montana Dakota Utilities Electric Rate Increase Application. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission. We have a work session scheduled today to discuss the case that's before us. It's our third work session on the MDU electric rate increase. Staff has done some more work, prepared, I think this is an updated memo that we received either, I think yesterday, February 23rd, so it has been updated to reflect our last meeting's discussion. Does everybody have it?
Yep.
Okay. Well, anyone have any place they want to start? I mean, Brian, you're
I'm ready to give my data dump, but I would just as soon wait till Alana gets back in here.
Okay. Oh, your data dump?
Yeah.
What's that? Request for more info?
Well, no, not so much that. Just that I have some conclusions that I semi-conclusions I came to, and I just want to start throwing them out there.
Okay.
And, go from there. But maybe
I have some semi. Thoughts too, but we'll wait till we get there.
Chris, why don't you go around and see if you can go snag her and see?
She went to make copies.
Make copies.
Oh, she's getting copies.
All right.
Are you wondering why you can't hear anything?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, we're just, for anyone listening, we're just breaking until, Alana needs to, needed to make some copies. Okay. All right, we're back. Brian, did you want to go ahead?
Sure. Well, the last work session I thought was very productive, and the discussion points that staff put together were very good, and the expanded ones they put together I think this time are very good. And if I recall from the last work session, the basic question that I had, maybe you gentlemen as well, was, what to do with the wind generation, how we were going to proceed with that, and we asked some questions. But I think we'd cleared up a lot, and I think Tony had some questions about the pension, but I think we had cleared up a lot of the questions about the bonuses and compensation for employees, the board of directors' expenses, the renewable energy credits. So I don't think I have any changes from what we talked about before.
You give it to, okay, everybody's got the Scott Hempling thing?
Yes.
Except mine's on my desk and not here.
That was the pension one, right?
Okay. Yes.
So I guess where I'm not sure where we wanted to start the discussion at, but when I went through the case of the wind generation, whether it was the Montana project of the Diamond Willows or North Dakota Cedar Hills, really went back and forth about what's the right thing to do there. And I initially started out with, I think we should dismiss both those and ask for more information. And then after I thought through that some more, I got back to, this commission issued a PCNN on the North Dakota project. So then I thought how that would walk through things. And where I'm at right now is that I think we should go back and reopen the case for the PCNN and maybe look at some information that we didn't look at it at that time and then just see how that all unfolds. Because I think that perhaps we would look at things differently now. And maybe there's some merit to opening that back up again.
I hadn't thought about that course of action. I'll be honest in that I've had some thoughts, concerns about our potential legal theory here, which worry me a bit. And here's what it is. Well, this is where I wish we'd close the door because it gets into potential litigation strategy, but we can't. Right. Right. I know. We have. Here's the concern I have with the way we potentially could be heading, and like I said, I hadn't thought about Brian's idea of reopening the PCNN. But that certificate that we issued after having the Montana wind farm up, okay, so you have a resource need you're saying that there's, that Montana had a need for that particular plant after the one was already up and running. Right. So, I mean, almost by logical definition, the other one there had to have been a need for too, or else you wouldn't need the incremental need on top of that. That's a problem.
Well, that's why I said to go back to when I reviewed the order on the PCNN.
And the other thing is the Montana one's cheaper. When you look at the cost add, it's cheaper than the North Dakota one that we granted the CPCN for. And cost add had to have been something taken into consideration as part of a CPCN. It's different than an ADP, but you do at least consider at face value the cost.
Well, but looking through what I saw in the PCNN, I did not see a lot of information about the cost modeling done prior to the PCNN being issued. Yeah. And that's where I thought.
But it was still issued.
It was issued. And the problem is going to court and saying staff didn't do due diligence on this isn't going to cut it.
But here's the point that Diamond Willow has never appeared in an IRP. In other words,
It's a problem. The problem is it was producing power at the time you said you needed incremental power. I think what all of us want to get at, and I don't know exactly how to do it, MDU did a bad job in putting together the fact case for the two wind farms.
Right.
The problem is the existence of that CPCN. I mean, and the fact that it deviated from the IRP and the fact that it deviated from existing commission precedent regarding the value of integrated resource planning. I mean, MDU's not without blame in this scenario. They should have done a more diligent job of, if they were going to depart from what they the obligation they were under, they needed to do a better job of accounting for it. And so I think all of us would like to get to a point where we can, at least I would, demonstrate displeasure with that. But I do worry as I think more and more about this that this CPCN issue and the timing of when these things were brought in is not good. Now, Mark brought up the legal theory, which you can go with and is sort of is plausible. Think legally defendable. I'm not the attorney in the room, but I mean, if you're adopting MDU's own argument with regard to why you granted the CPCN, maybe you get around that.
Elaborate on that.
Right. Right.
And that's that presumption of prudence for those projects?
Presumption of prudence. It's if you adopt their legal theory, that the presumption of prudence resided with that thing getting built, and that applies to the CPCN. And there you go. Then that was a pretty low threshold that had to be met. And then you can take these other things into consideration with the Montana wind farm. Now, that has implications on down the line for other future cases. Maybe that's not a big deal because I sense the commission and staff are going to place greater appropriate weight on CPCNs in the future.
Right.
There's one you and I talked in my office about this, and I know where you're coming from. There's one little legal interpretation that the presumption applies somewhere else. It's, I think, a bad one. I mean, it may be not controllingly bad, but
right.
But there's one other little tiny glitch.
Oops.
To that.
Right.
And that is that it applies to the purchase power. You know, that whole ADP was written for more than just building generation or transmission, but for also a purchase power contract, which would never get to PCNN. You know, so the presumption, and the presumption language mentions all three or four of them, I think. And I have it right here in front of me. Again, if it was supposed to apply somewhere else, it would have said so or somehow else. But by mentioning that purchase power, that's a smidgen of weight in favor of it not applying elsewhere. We did talk, and that's why this was written, with, you know, the one
Right. Well, I agree. I don't think it's a great theory, but it is their theory, which if you're looking to write a...
But then again, in conjunction with allowing everything.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So what about Brian's idea of reopening?
Yeah, I'm not taking any, that's all good we're talking about, but I still want to walk that to ground because I think that maybe we look at that PCNN again, because if that fact was not there, this we looked at all a different way. So maybe it's time that this going forward, it's a whole new world we're operating under. Maybe this is the case where we make sure we do that.
The problem with it is it was there. I mean, that's the problem, you know.
I'd have a concern from a signal that this commission sends the business community if we retroactively start pulling previously issued certificates, a la what the EPA is doing to certain mining companies. And I mean, if you can go back in and open these up kind of in retrospect, I just think it's not a great precedent to the...
When we viewed the PCNNs, we were looking at them of a lens of what they would be used for. I don't think we intended this PCNN to be used the way it is used in this rate case, linking a Montana project because of the PCNN issued towards a North Dakota project that was built after the Montana project. It was almost like this was a setup all the way through to use the PCNN to get to what they thought they wanted to get to.
Well, even if it was.
I get you. I know what you're going to use.
We get it.
PCNNs it's not a setup. They're used to allow stuff.
But why didn't they ask for ADP on... ADP on the Montana project?
That's, to me, a separate issue. PCNNs are intended to give approval to something in rate base. That's what they are. That's why they exist.
Agreed.
But
that for the North Dakota project, that makes sense, but this becomes the bootstrap, if you will, to use Mark's term, of how they're trying to pull the Montana project over it. Yes, this should be approved as well.
Then what needs to be addressed in some way, and whether the rate setting side of it is the place to do it or not, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it is, but is the policy side of things, which is that the way MDU procured this was wrong, the way the RFP was put together was wholly inappropriate.
The modeling was forced.
The forcing of the modeling, all of those things are, to me, problematic. And I think we all want to do something about it, whether you can get at it through the rate recovery issue. I don't know.
Well, I'm personally of the opinion that the lack of any reference to Cedar Hills in any resource plan ever presented makes the timing of it post its relationship to Diamond Willow and the timing irrelevant. That's my, and if that's a weak legal argument, maybe it is, but it's, I don't think it's irrelevant. I think it is relevant. So I agree that the PCNN is problematic in terms of how we treat Cedar Hills, but I don't think its timing is relevant to recovery of Diamond Willow, because Diamond Willow still, there's a way more evidence that this was built specifically for Montana, to meet a Montana mandate in Montana with no consideration to North Dakota, that's who ought to pay for it. Now, the fact that it's less expensive, actually, than Cedar Hills, you know, it's not completely irrelevant, but it is in the sense that the PCNN issued to Cedar Hills, because it was after Diamond Willow was already providing power, the fact that Diamond Willow's never been brought to us before, including even in a resource plan, tells me that it's not it to me, it's the argument I'm going to stand on for not considering it.
True. It's forced into the model. There's no doubt about it. The problem is that we're trying to get at a bad process through a somewhat crude tool, which may not fit with what we're able to sustain legally, which right. is the rate setting.
Well, and if we're not, then I'm prepared to have somebody else decide that for me. But.
Well, I tell you, I started out earlier in the week, before I thought about the PCNN going back, is that really dismissing both cases, both the wind farms, if you will, and going back and asking for additional information, because we've got the cost at the end of the day. But we dismiss them, we go back and say, listen, provide us the economic data, the model that shows what would have been different cost alternatives.
What the delta would have been.
What the delta would have been. Because, quite honestly, if you
do... That does seem like a problem, by the way, with... I mean, I guess they'll have to do whatever case they need to do in Montana, but it would seem that statute says they have to calculate what the cost over the baseline would have been, and that wasn't produced here, so I don't know how...
See, but that's what got me thinking back to the PCNN, because that same question should have come out during the PCNN, that... Okay, in our order, it says that we determine it's reliable and economic to the customers. Okay, so somewhere in the information they gave us that we looked at in the work sessions, we got to a conclusion that said that. So there should have been something that showed us that this was economic, comparing it to something. Now, I didn't see that in the little couple hours I saw on the PCNN, which makes me think that maybe we should go back and look at that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what I would like to know is that I know what it costs at the end of the day, but I'd like to know what the cost would have been for other alternatives, and to do exactly what Tony said, is to find the delta, and then if we decide to go somewhere between all or none, there's a reason that we go all or none.
Yeah. And there may well be a reason that you'd pay a slight premium on one fuel over another for diversity's sake. There's lots of rationale you can use. But I agree, that was the biggest flaw in addition to the bad process with them to use procurement process. With them to use case was not... producing what the other alternatives,
which is why I'm willing, which is why I would prefer to disallow Diamond Willow and dismiss Cedar Hills until they can provide that information on Cedar Hills. But the Diamond Willow policy, that's just a matter of.
Say again what you just said. I'm going to write this.
My position has been the same for three work sessions. I'll disallow Diamond Willow and dismiss Cedar Hills until we have more information.
Because
I'm allowing it based on the PCNN. But I have no numbers to know what the incremental higher cost is.
The next most logical step, one degree deviation from that, is
dismiss.
You dismiss and dismiss.
Yeah.
But you are recognizing that they are both allowed.
Yeah, and I'm not ready to allow
I'd be closer to that position than I am.
Which is what I kept thinking. I'll just say it. Somebody would come up with this, some kind of a settlement.
Well, I kept thinking that too, frankly, but
crossed my mind.
Well, but see, I was
when you don't have a great record on either side, it makes for makes for settlements.
Well, when
you have a clear PC man and you don't have as much of an issue on that Cedar Hills with question one.
Right.
Because there was a time when I was at the dismiss disallow, but then after talking through it with different folks about the fact that there is power being generated and it is being used by North Dakota consumers. Mm-hmm. That's where I got back to the dismiss.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you that that's why it's not.
And you're always within your, not always, but I mean, you have wider discretion as a commission to say you didn't give us enough information to make a decision here.
Right.
And a court is going to not, it's on this record, not going to necessarily second guess maybe on the PCNN means. Well, Cedar Hills, they'd second guess you, but not on the how much. They're going to remand it.
What in their record?
Of course. Exactly what you're doing by dismissing and saying, bring us the information.
What in their record would give someone the ability to, if we said disallow Diamond Willows, to come back and say no? What is it that
one logical thing is this PCNN and
the timing.
Yeah. But that's it, though, right? The PCNN and the timing, which...
Well, they'll argue if they go to the Supreme Court, they'd go on the whole record, which would be that would be one component, and the rest of it would be that they had sufficient evidence and that the staff didn't meet its burden.
They didn't have sufficient evidence. If they'd had sufficient evidence, we'd have a decision that we'd have got to by now.
But they're not. But I mean, I think, given past precedent, they're not going to come back. The court isn't going to come back and say, you can just disallow the whole thing because you didn't believe there was sufficient evidence. I mean,
right.
I mean, they're still going to want you to try to establish what was the premium paid on that, you know, and so then you're back to the same spot.
Right, but you are back where a court would not overturn you,
right,
because you're saying.
I just think the likelihood of saying the whole thing is absolutely disallowed is, that's a tough sled.
And then at that point, you say it like,
so what would the line be to not allow something built in another state, even though that was demanded by that other state to be built? What would the line be?
You had no additional power need. I mean, there, you know, legitimately, you didn't need another plant brought on. You didn't have the need for the power.
I've been struggling with that question since the whole rate cases ago, and not coming up with a lot. Mark came back from training, and that's what we talked about. There is not a lot of basis, except for a company just being totally negligent.
I mean, let's say your resource need is, you know, growing at a snail's pace or is declining, and then you decide to add a superfluous plant on. I mean, to me, that would be completely disallowable. But
what about their witness that says we forced it into the model and we did it to meet the Montana mandate? And that's pretty clear.
That's still useful.
To me, it's, yeah.
Well,
what's the premium paid? And we don't have enough information.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I've always sort of been there, but I'm a little more hung up on the Diamond Willow.
Well, maybe we have an agreement, though.
We
dismiss Cedar Hill. That's what I'm hearing that maybe the three of us agree on.
Need more information to find out what the delta is. Chris, you're going to be very busy, though, looking at IRPs, because in the future, I mean, I'd like to go to the North Dakota legislature and say, we need to pass some policies that require the next need for XL Energy to be built in Fargo instead of Montevideo or something. You know, if that's really if that's where we are, that states get to mandate by policy where a company's an integrated resource company in multiple jurisdictions, what state they build their next resource in, shoot, let's get into it. Right? I mean, that's kind of what you're saying.
I know.
That's exactly what they're saying.
Yeah.
So.
We're going down a dangerous path, is my point. We can generate a lot of electricity.
If we dismiss Cedar Hills and disallow Diamond Willows, it could still come back to us with the same information whether we dismissed, correct?
Right. It would just be humiliating and embarrassing.
We'd be there.
That is the least of our concerns. I wouldn't even care if I'm there. I mean, I'm happy to be there and
I would think we'd want to come down and give our viewpoints on it when the time is right. I don't shy away from being appealed in some kind of legal decision. I think that's what they hedge their bets.
It's not that you're shying away. Our job.
We're doing what we think is right.
Right.
Our job is to advise you, and I'm just advising that it's a very weak case. But that's why we go through all these pros and cons one by one if you want.
I think you do the. Yeah, I mean, I think the commission always has to do what it thinks is legally the best option.
Yeah, I agree.
Or most correct option.
There is no best option here.
No.
So then, Kevin, back to your point, though, are you still dismiss, disallow?
Well, I'll research it some more, but I'm going to be prepared to strongly push for that in a, you know, including in a dissenting opinion if I need to. But yeah, but that's okay. That's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I don't. That doesn't bother me.
No, but it may not be a dissenting opinion if another one of us agrees with you.
Yeah. No. Right. But I. Yeah.
But I guess you're advising that the disallow, you don't think, is winnable in an appeal.
I think the only argument is what Kevin has said a couple, three times.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, that in the granting of FPCA
Right. That's
always,
my whole point.
The commission always considered that to just be Montana's
right.
low wind farm, so
precisely.
We didn't even take it into consideration. That's
and the evidence to support that is the fact that it's not in an RP.
It had no relevance to this, what Tony was talking about, the PCN and the it's an argument. Okay. There'll be comments made that, you know, you have an obligation to be looking at these things regardless of what Montana's ordering, and you know it all.
Oh, I know. Yep.
So, but I think it's a better argument than the presumption, because I can't give you an example of how bad that is, but I think it's a slippery slope where the presumption applies elsewhere, especially after we read that.
Oh, yeah.
The purchase power presumption. Mm-hmm. It's only relevant to ADP, that sentence.
There's just a certain rough justice to it, that's all.
There is, I agree.
Yeah. But
I don't
know. We're willing to.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's too cute by half.
The more I thought about it, Mark and I talked a lot. I have this on. Yeah. I mean, the PCNN issue, whatever you want to call it, just kept coming back as a tough road, a tough obstacle.
But you're right. I mean, the one potential argument is that the commission all along just considered that was always Montana's thing and really wasn't ours. The power was just being used over there to meet that goal. And
until we got into the rate case.
And so it was separate from.
Yeah.
It's defensible. I mean, it's defensible. I would tend to go with dismiss, but it's defensible, plausible.
It would probably be overturned on something like arbitrary and capricious, but as opposed to some other ground, not letting it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did tell the transmission people yesterday that this electric PCNN law was taking on a new life.
Well, there's no, why not?
You know what? How about this? It'd be nice to see two orders. One that says dismiss with all those arguments, and one that says dismiss, disallow. And then whatever one I'll decide, that's the one I'll issue.
Kevin worked with Alana on the dismiss, disallow. I'll work on the dismiss. And Brian, you can.
Yep, whichever one we decide to introduce.
Whichever one you like.
Yep.
Right.
Three paragraphs.
Right.
And then we can have some internal discussions legally that aren't broadcast to the whole world between one-on-one.
Yep.
I like that.
Cool.
Okay.
So now you want to use this stuff for
the other stuff?
There will be a few things that'll be different once if that decision is made, right? Because in the case of dismiss, disallow, and things like the RECs, then you're saying RECs flow 100% to Montana. They keep them all. They can do whatever they want. Whereas on dismiss, we would still want to force them to then give our allocation, 75% of the credits flow to North Dakota and cannot be used in Montana unless they're purchased to.
But that would be like the portion of allocation in North Dakota, not just buying whatever.
Right.
What if you could, for accounting purposes, have them purchase the RECs not at the market value, a kilowatt or megawatt or whatever, they're low, but have them purchase it at the. If you could establish the extra cost imposed by having to meet this mandate. I mean, if you can establish that through the dismissal process where more information comes back and you figure out what the added cost is, require them to have those purchased at that cost as opposed to the market value of the rack.
Interesting.
That's way outside the box, right? If
that's where these prices are going to go. Just to that increment, that increment on the next theory. Kilowatt hour, whatever it's been generally kilowatt.
But we'd have to establish what the delta is first. So we don't have to write that today, right? Or do we need to put it in this order in order?
I think we have to think about that.
You can at least tee it up. You can say the commission can consider, may consider different alternatives for how to treat the the racks, whether market value or some other mechanism for recovering the incremental cost.
Do you have any pension questions, Tony, you wanted to go through? Or?
I thought Hemley's thing was pretty
good. I thought it was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting their money's worth out of them now.
I thought it was a good analysis, and
yeah, that was good. That was helpful.
It might have been another place, but that was enough.
Yeah, no, it got made the point.
Yeah. There was a separate discussion. I think this was between me and Gooden, right?
It was.
And then there was a separate discussion between me and Sanger that was more detailed about when does this become a problem from an actuarial standpoint and what are the thresholds. I thought it was good. If staff is comfortable with it, I would be comfortable running with this sort of language.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. There may need some tweaks. Is there anything else we needed to deal with in here that was? I think we had taken care of board expenses, incentive compensation, and the settlement, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Probably just to state the obvious, but just for clarification, is the reopening of the PCNN issue, is that something at all?
That's a
do you want us? Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
It's very good to think about, and it's going to be extremely, I mean, it's going to become real obvious with the future PCNNs. I mean, that's about, you know.
Let me just
fool me once, sort of.
I mean, CPNN, they're going to become an opportunity to look at the entire IRP and resource portfolio that they have and really analyze whether there's a need or not. It's where some other states have been for some time. In Minnesota, the need process is like where it's all done, and maybe that's, you know, where this is going to have to head in North Dakota.
There's no choice if it ends up like this all the time.
Yeah. Yep.
Just kind of looking forward a little bit. So whatever we end up with, I guess they could just say, okay, that's the end of it, but chances are they won't. But when the order is issued, how does that – does that set a new rate, and then given their interim rate, it'll be refunded, and this will come back? I just want to walk through that a little bit. No question about it.
In here, which is a new rate, which is different than their interim rate. And it would depend. I mean, normally they would go ahead and begin doing that, but there's probably some ways for them to.
That was what I wanted to walk through just a little bit.
To suspend all that.
How that works.
Just means we go with the dismiss.
think so.
That's why I asked the question.
A dismissal ends a case just like a denial ends a case. Now, you want to put it on hold and ask for more information. That's different. Again, there's settlement opportunity that wasn't taken.
Seized before, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But a dismissal, again, end of case. So when you dismiss the wind farms, you're allowing the settlement and the incentive comp and whatever else is in this little list. Okay? Okay. So you're allowing rates of something or other.
So that, isn't that a problem? Because what you end up with, you might end up with refunds, and then you might be coming right back again, changing the rates back up.
Yes, it is a problem, but I would hope that the company would sort of rise to the occasion and propose some reasonable resolution.
Well, but the thing, though, is if my thought would be that this needs to be closed out, that
yes.
that it's done with, they dismiss
yes.
it, and then because, you know what, if they come back, that could be another 12 to 18 months, and we don't want them collecting at whatever 10% rate it is, and it turns out at the end of the day, I mean, I think it needs to be done with.
Well, I agree with you, and there are some problems with, you know, the interval rates being higher and refunds and this and that, but if what I'm hearing is that the case is decided, not the case is on hold.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because that's what, whether it's dismissed or disallowed, it's this rate case is done.
They're appealable decisions.
Right.
Okay. Seeing no dissenting viewpoints.
So there's an appeal. If there is an appeal, though, then does that suspend the decision?
No, not unless they come and ask.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the time frame? What's next? Do we 2 weeks, the next meeting, or do we shoot for 2 weeks from now, and then if we need to go?
2 weeks, I guess. Two different orders, but maybe we need to have
another work session.
We promise that we'd be ready for the agenda.
Okay, yeah, which is next Wednesday.
Yeah.
After our admonition today.
It's a week for us. That's right.
Yeah, I wouldn't think
so. So why don't we just plan on a month then? 3 weeks.
We'll schedule the work session at the next meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Cool. To your point, Kevin, about the policy change in some of these areas, that opportunity is already gone this time around, isn't it?
You mean with the legislature?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Long time ago. That's.
Yeah.
Yep, that ship has left port.
But you know what? It just means we probably don't need any different policy changes. We just will look at the PCNNs completely different, as well as some other things now.
Well, that's for sure. All that's for sure. My point is that if there's got to be a line that you don't cross with regard to allowance of things done outside of the state based on another state's public policies. Tony makes some distinction on the line. The line is that if it's not needed, then, or if it's a superfluous generation addition or whatever, then you don't allow it. But then I'm saying then if that is the line, then the next time there is a need, let's make doggone sure that North Dakota gets the, let's pass some policy that ensures North Dakota gets the next generation and not some other state, and let the other states pay for it. Let the 95%
of the
customers.
See, the danger, though, is that. See, but here's the. This is why I think it's important to have that, to have the record established. So you know how much more it costs to meet those kind of laws.
Right.
That's exactly.
Because
right.
Then, if North Dakota does that, the other state would be entirely within its right to say, "Well, we'll pay up to this much." But guess what, folks? After that, you are on your own. And I think that's what that's what I'm trying to establish here is if to meet Montana's law, which is arbitrary. You cut corners and you built you aren't able to establish, you can't establish how much more it costs. Okay, we'll pay, you know, what it would have cost to run your least cost option, but we're not going to pay more than that. And Montana, you can pick up the rest to pay for your requirement.
Precisely.
But we have to be able to establish what the least cost option was, which they didn't give us that information. So, Anything else?
Nope.
Nothing? Okay. Thanks. We'll close the work session.
To make plans for the 100th convention, Grand Convention.
Wow. That's a collectible. Save that.
Two regular resolutions drafted.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, we do.
That's two right. Pipeline cases I was talking about. One's actually two gas plants in the same plot, but Bear Paws building those.
Right. Okay, we got to hear that.